I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco off of Preston Road. And right now, we bring to you from DallasCowboys.com, it is Kyle Yeomans. How's it going, man?
See, now that I've seen you actually try the drop in person,
yeah,
it fits. Like, I even when I'm on the phone, I can't tell the difference at
times. Focus every time.
And you do. You lock in.
Yeah.
I can see the tunnel vision. And then you drop the Kyle Yeomans, and then it's there.
I'm still trying to figure out. I can't remember that moment exactly. Was Sean trying to say your name correctly? Because I remember I called you three different names the entire year. And I wonder if he was like, I want to get this right. Kyle Yeomans. And that's how that happened. I think that's how it worked.
It had to be. I honestly, it's funny because the drop wasn't like an immediate thing. It showed up a couple weeks later when Peyton clipped it and just used it randomly. And that was the first time when somebody texted me and was like, are they talking mess? Like, are they messing with you?
No.
I was like, no, actually, like, I've listened back to the segment. It's not that at all. But it is funny. Like, it's a funny drop.
It's a term of endearment.
I'm cool with it. Yeah.
You get put into some of the weirdest situations. I mean, you got to admit that. Is sometimes you're just
for
like,
sure.
Oh, all right.
And there's only one time I heard Sean and RJ use it inappropriately. I was like, come on, y'all. Don't put that on him.
He's not a serial killer.
So I know there's a lot to get to. Number one thing that I think has been agitating me all day. Can we agree that the Packers are not the Chiefs and they're not guaranteed to be in the Super Bowl and make this a quote unquote useless second round pick? Mm. We'll get to that other part in just a second, but can we agree that the Packers are a good team, but it's not like they've gone 15-2 consecutively?
Yeah, they paid their quarterback $55 million a year, and what has Jordan Love really done to this point in time, too? I know that's the argument around
Dak.
He beat
the crap out of us. But
he did,
that,
yeah, other than that. That was the argument around paying Dak Prescott. Why is that not the argument for Jordan Love nationwide? And I think this Packers team is a contender, but are they does the path to the Super Bowl run through Green Bay, Wisconsin? I don't think so, not at this point. The defense is much improved. You get an elite pass rusher like Micah. That does wonders, but I don't know if it's an automatic Super Bowl. You're picking in the 30s now with that first round pick over the next 2 years. I just don't see that as the case.
I wonder how much they're going to miss Kenny Clark.
Like maybe
the addition of him again. Bobby was like, "Look, he's not a world beater, but he's a nice piece, and he's better than any of the tackles that we had."
And he costs nothing.
Yeah, that's a huge factor.
And you have him under contract through 2027, so you have him for 3 years,
no guaranteed
with
money,
zero guarantees.
So if you're like, never mind. You have no financial commitment.
He
gets off the plane as your best nose tackle, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he walks off the bus this morning as your best nose tackle.
Yeah.
And that's what you've improved on this team. Yes, you
but
have.
But also a sad indictment of what we've done for that position.
It's not a high bar to raise, but it does raise the bar nonetheless. So your interior defensive line is better today than it was yesterday. But is your team across the board better today than it was yesterday in 2025? No, it's not. And I think that's the conceding side of this from the Cowboys front office. And while they're going to say this is better for our football team, I think when they say that, it's not a lie in their minds, but it's looking ahead to 26 and 27. I don't think any of us up here would have put the Cowboys in the Super Bowl with or without Micah Parsons.
Nope.
That's not what they are right now. But now you have a chance to build it going forward. I think they could have gotten more for the trade, but I really don't hate the trade and the compensation that was returned.
So I think that leads to the question that, Corey, I know you're thinking. What do you think about Lenora Sellers as the future quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? We're just kicking some names around.
You know,
that's what you were going to ask.
That was a completely different question, but I like this question.
Good player at South Carolina, you know. He wears the rec specs every once in a while.
He does.
He definitely does. He was great in the recent Netflix documentary. I mean, he's got some talent.
So
I know
everybody just watch him.
I think you should watch him maybe a little bit. We should all be watching quarterbacks. Your quarterback's in his 30s now. I think from this point forward, and we've been on the draft show since 2020 and have kind of stayed away from the QB conversation. that's not going to be the case forever. I think over these next few years, especially when you have draft capital that can move, like the four first-round picks over the next two seasons, there's a chance that you could be looking at a quarterback, whether Dak's ready to leave or not.
Wait, okay, let's think about Joe Milton real quick.
Uh-huh.
Does he have a shot at being the future of this, or is it, man, he's got too much work to do? These other guys that could be drafted or would be far more effective.
He would need to earn the second contract. That's all I see. The fact that he's still 23 years old, early in his career, he's only in year two in the NFL, there's a lot of work left to be done. But he could very easily, with the intangibles that he has, he could be the next guy. I just don't see it right now. I mean, he's got leaps and bounds to even get close to what a starting quarterback should look like in the NFL, not to mention a franchise quarterback in the NFL. He's got to go way above what he has now, but he has time to do that. He's under contract for two more years as well. You can kind of grow him into that role and piece it all together.
Yeah, I think Schottenheimer looks forward to the opportunity to watch him and help him do that too.
If we're looking at betting odds of like who would replace Dak Prescott, I wouldn't put Joe Milton at the top of my list.
The pass rush in particular, where are we going to find that from? Are there guys that are capable of putting up double-digit sacks on this team?
This is a direct, not a quote, but it's a feeling when it comes to the edge rusher spot. The fact that they did not go get a guy, there are some in Green Bay that can help you with your edge rusher depth, shows me they feel good about that position. They feel like Donovan Ezeraku can maybe be that guy moving forward, and they've invested other second-round picks. Sam Williams, he's coming back. Can he finally live up to the expectation and stay healthy? Can Marshawn Nealon take a step forward as an edge rusher that is mostly a run stopper and somebody that can set the edge as well? You're hoping those guys step up. That's where it's coming from right now. And then if maybe it doesn't come here in 2025, maybe then one of those first round picks is something you could look forward to.
And there
as
are
well.
Some names obviously that we've seen floating around there.
Yeah.
The Ezeraku, when I watched him in the preseason, I saw the moves are good. Mm-hmm. He gets off the ball great. He was still a little behind. He's a rookie. I mean, like, he's still a little behind. Last year they said this about Tyler Guyton. Mm-hmm. We know we're learning on the fly here. Or we know that we're – and are they kind of willing to say he'll develop over the season? We're willing to deal with that right now because next year he's going to benefit even more from it.
Yeah. The difference
or do you
between –
Or do you think by the middle of the season he's going to be – rocketing.
See, and that's where I think there's a little bit of a difference. The difference between Guyton and Ezeraku, and of course they play different positions, but when we were at camp last year, we were seeing the struggles from Tyler Guyton in his rookie camp, in practice, going up against guys like Micah, going up against guys on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage, whereas Donovan Ezeraku was borderline dominant at times in practice, and then he got to the games and it was subdued against opponents. That makes me think that they haven't unleashed what they've seen from Donovan Ezeraku
so far. Or even the reality of what Eberflus' defense might be. Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was leading is Jerry Jones said it last night, and I don't think this is a fabrication by any stretch. He said that there is a belief from Coach Eberflus that they can scheme pressure.
Yeah.
You can't scheme run defense, and I think you can kind of maneuver both. But you can scheme pressure, and when you have an athlete like Donovan Ezeraku that can get there and get it done, I think they haven't schemed it quite yet because they don't want to show what they have quite yet. And maybe internally that was part of that collective decision to say we're okay moving on for Micah Parsons because we've seen what we have and we know what we have. The rest of the world doesn't. We'll show them coming up on Thursday.
I mean, hell, the cornerbacks never played any closer than, like, 6 yards. So they didn't show a lot during those games.
It wasn't a whole lot.
Would that be your retroactive tagline for this training camp? We're not going to show you much.
Yeah, preseason, yes. The training camp. You saw some stuff in training camp.
Y'all
were out there.
You saw more
bit.
Than we did. We were there so early that they were just kind of growing it, and we got great interviews. But you guys got to see more as things got going there.
There were some times where Donovan Ezeraku was dominating the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, it was against guys like Guyton before he got hurt, and it was Nate Thomas before he got hurt, before he kind of found his footing. Overall, yes, you're going to see better offensive tackles than what Ezeraku was going up against in practice, But even in the game, they're facing different guys than they're going to see the Rams play and the Ravens play throughout their season, too.
On the offensive front, I was surprised to see the move. I know it got buried under the Micah stuff about Ryan Flannoy.
Wait, he got released?
Yeah.
I missed it. No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
But, like, you get what I'm saying is it got buried underneath got everything buried. Else.
Zion Childress was on the practice field a minute ago.
Yeah.
And everybody looked around at each other and said, when did this happen?
Yeah, come on, Hall.
Kimon Hall gets released, go Ming Green, but they made the move, and all of this was just under the radar. Nick Harris tweeted it out and was like, that's an easy break. That was one of the things he told us.
And with those moves, do you think we'll see either Kimon Hall or Flannoy come back around? Because I know there's a lot of, mechanical things that you do.
I like to call it roster gymnastics because they're just doing backflips to try and make this thing work. One of the conversations that a couple of media members and myself were having at practice a moment ago was they gave us this roster. They gave us the paper roster, and this is one of the weirdest looks that you'll have. But you look at the wide receiver position, there's only four names.
Yeah.
And so,
and one of them is also your kick returner.
Yeah, he's another guy that you're going to utilize in different spots. So they're going to make a move with Flannoy. I feel like there's a chance he comes back either to the roster or they find a way to get Kimon Hall in the mix. But there's 10 defensive backs on the roster right this second, and there's only four wide receivers, which makes me think either Flannoy has a spot on the practice squad and they'll use his elevations as they come along, maybe wait for an injury or two at a different spot to pop up, and then you throw those guys onto the active roster.
Or you use one of these first-round draft picks to get Malik Nabers off the Giants.
Okay.
Is that just one?
Yeah.
I think you're going to need multiple to get that done.
Although, I'd be stoked about that. So which is weirder to look at?
Is there enough footballs to go around?
Yeah. No, there's not.
I would love that.
Need more footballs.
We don't actually need any running backs, you idiots.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So what's weirder to look at, the four wide receivers here or the 105.3 The Fan schedule that has Micah Parsons on the front of it?
That is tough.
That was the first thing I saw when I walked in.
Sorry, buddy.
We're going to need to print some new ones.
Yeah. I mean, but
get the marketing team on it.
There's no way in hell I ever thought this was going to happen.
No. You and I were – I mean, we were all on the show together, and I said it back in March. I don't think this is going to drag out.
Yeah.
I thought it would get done prior to free agency, and, of course, the conversations were happening in March, so that was what we were all hearing. Oh, there's an agreement. There's some movement here. They've had these conversations, and the fact that it turned into what it was, I mean, this is one of the wildest contract scenarios I think we could have ever seen.
This is a completely off-topic question. Ted Wynn, who I have a ton of respect for, his film work that he does, somebody said, why is nobody talking about Sawyer Robertson from Baylor? And he said, Sawyer Robertson's this year's Jackson Dart. I'm big on Jackson Dart and where he is right now, and obviously having Malik Nabers. I don't know anything about Sawyer Robertson. Yeah. Is this a good comparison?
Big-bodied quarterback, cannon of an arm, cerebral reads. I mean, he's a really good quarterback. He may be top two or three in the Big 12.
Add him to the list.
He's a legit quarterback. I mean, I'll even make a prediction here. I grew up in Waco, so I keep tabs on the Baylor football program and been around it. My dad works the sideline security there. He'll be there tonight when they play Auburn. But this is the most excited Baylor has been about their team since they went to the Sugar Bowl and they beat Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. A couple years back under Aranda, won the Big 12 against Oklahoma State, that classic game where they dove to the pylon and didn't get there at AT&T Stadium. I think they'll be back in the Big 12 title game this year. They're that good, and it all starts with Sawyer Robertson. Robertson specifically came onto the scene kind of under the radar last year and put up massive numbers against defenses like Colorado, defenses like Utah, played well in those big games against BYU. Put up numbers, the defense just couldn't slow guys down. that offense is legit, and Robertson's the one that gets that thing going.
As long as we're covering all the levels of football, do you have any spicy high school football thoughts for us?
Tomorrow, the historic programs of Odessa Permian, which you remember from Friday Night Lights, Plano High School, is going to be on NFL Network starting at noon.
I got to get my kid a ticket to that game.
I'll get you one. Just let me know.
I'll let you.
Shoot me a text.
That's why he said that.
I know. It wasn't.
My kid's not going to that game.
Did you see him fake like he was going to buy a ticket? He's like, oh, Kyle's nice. He'll buy it.
He'll give it one. No, I think that's going to be a really good game. It was 13-10 last year. Permian is a team that, of course, tradition says they're a great team. They have a running back that had 2,400 rushing yards and 30-plus touchdowns last year. So
sounds like he ran against us.
Yeah, for real. That game starting at noon on NFL Network, we'll have the call for that. So I'm excited about that tomorrow.
And yesterday, Craig James, we had him in studio, and he recounted that in 1978 he won the state title by, of course, defeating Plano Senior in the finals.
Yeah.
So
he also pointed out, like, if he could ever go back in his career to play on a team again, high school was where it was.
Wow!
And he said that while they were getting inducted in the High School Hall of Fame, multiple guys, Ray Lewis included, all said, yeah, my high school team, because that's where you build those different relations. You're young.
You play
fun.
Peewee ball going up with those guys, and then you're playing in the high school ranks. It really is like kind of a different type of brotherhood.
And it was Billy Ray Smith was the player that I was thinking of, because at least like he was getting ready to play in the Super Bowl, and they're like, what do you think about the biggest game of your life? And he goes, I already played the biggest game of my life. It was a state championship with Plano. And I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. But I don't think he was just BSing about that.
Yeah.
Now, the excitement that you have just in general, I know you talked about maybe there'll be a special edition of the draft show of just looking ahead saying.
You're giving that out on the air.
Oh, crap. Kevin, what are you doing?
Hey, we're trying. Let's just put it that way.
We are
trying to put one together. The fan text is going to have my
really
head if I don't get it to happen.
That. Hey, what I would do
let's
if
go ahead
I were
and dump
you,
that real quick.
I'm really sorry. Add me to Forgiveness Friday for being a dumbass. I was going to say just your general excitement, seeing how entrenched you are in the draft process at the idea of two firsts, the next 2 years, and what that could be.
It really is interesting because I even texted David Hellman last night just to make sure, because he was one of the early guys on the draft show, along with Ed Cahill and Brian Broaddus.
And he does not love this deal.
No, he doesn't. And he said it'll be interesting to see where they shape out. But when I talked to Hellman, I was like, is this the first time, or what year did it start was the first one? And they started the draft show in 2013. The last time Dallas picked twice in the first round was back in 2008. And then, of course, 2005, they had the Spears and the Ware draft. Yep. That worked out pretty well for what they were trying to do. And you get this back-to-back years. You get it in 26 and 27.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then if not, you have something else to talk about. So I'm cool with it either way. It does give hope toward the future where instead of paying – you always hear Stephen Jones talk about the piece of the pie, and you talk about the salary cap. A huge chunk of that pie would be Dak, CD, Micah. Now you can – re-sign the guys that deserve to be re-signed. Pickens this year if he has a good year. Tyler Smith. Brandon Aubrey, Deron Bland. You can sign all those guys and have some chunk of change left over to pursue high-end free agents. You haven't done that in the past because of whatever reason.
And high-end draft picks.
And then you add the high-end draft picks too. You have a chance to really build this thing if you hit on your draft picks and you attack free agency in a different way than you have previously. 2026 and 27 could be really, really exciting.
Is there any part of you that believes what Jerry and Steven said last night about, hey, you never know, we could use some of that draft cap? Because that felt like kind of for show.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah, it goes back to what even Jerry said last night when he referenced on Stephen A., I've never thought about trading Micah Parsons. And they said, well, why did you say that on Stephen A. Smith's show? And Jerry responded with, if I was going to do that, you think I would say that to everybody?
And then he winks there. Thanks for writing it.
I think it depends on how you perceive it. It depends on how you read it. I read it as they may look at shopping those first round picks, but really it gets closer to the draft. That's when you're going to have a better idea of how you would use that. Because I don't, you and I mean, again, all of us up here are going to say not a contender right now for a Super Bowl.
Correct.
This is a team that can have some playoff caliber results but get in the tournament, see what happens. Pull a Washington Commanders last year. Get in the tournament, get in the playoffs, see what happens. If you want to build a Super Bowl contender, you've got the next couple years to do
and
that.
And that's I go back to, this is what we talked about going all the way back to crosstalk with Sean and RJ. I know the way they were doing it as presently constructed wasn't working.
Not
and
working.
It wasn't going to work.
This is completely different.
Exactly. And so I go back to this, and I'll say it again and again. To the people that hate the way the Cowboys do business, and I am one of those people who frequently gets agitated at the way they run the salary cap, this is a good day for you because they have said, you know what? We're going to do something totally different. Is it going to work? I don't know. But at least it feels like I am one of those people who likes the path of the unknown. If you know that the known is only going to get you this far.
Yeah, it'll get you to the playoffs, but it won't get you to
further.
An NFC title game.
Yeah.
Do something different. And that's what happened. And that's why we're talking about this trade. It's still shocking. It's still stunning. And you don't have a top five defender in the National Football League on your roster. So it will sting a little bit. But when you actually look at the big picture of this whole scenario, you have a shot to really build this to what is an NFC title game scenario or a Super Bowl scenario.
Something that could be not just that for 1 year, but multiple
years.
Because you'll have a young group like that together. And Kevin,
we wait out the 2 years to get out the Dak deal, and then you can really I got you.
A great GM around here once said, "Fortune favors the bold," and I think that's playing out for both GMs right now.
Okay, but that was never mind.
Okay,
never mind.
You don't want to talk about Nico today.
I mean, look, because then we have to get into my conspiracy theory about the reason why he said that's the closest he can come to saying getting Cooper Flagg was part of the deal.
Frozen envelope stuff.
I believe that too. So you can convince me on some sports conspiracy.
I'll tell you this: all the guests we've had on today it's been a great day. That moment of just kind of laying that whole picture out, though, that's the first time all day that I felt like, oh, crap, like this thing could be real. That really made me feel like this thing could be turned into something special down the road.
You still have to execute. You still have to hit. Those draft picks can't be fluffs. You can't mess those up. But if you hit, you've got a shot.
Do me a favor. We talk to Stephen Jones every single week.
Uh-huh.
If you could promise to never come on this show and say you still have to execute, I would really, really appreciate it.
I just appreciate you coming on the show. I really appreciate that.
Can you? I'll do that if you can ask a question for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I might not be able to this question. The Jerry Jones documentary, the America's Team, came out last week. One of the big storylines there was Jerry and Jimmy, who took credit for the first idea of the trade, but it was a consensus that they were going to trade Herschel Walker. I want to know who thought of it first.
Okay.
And I don't know if they'll tell me. They may tell you guys, but I want to know who thought of it first. They say it's a consensus. I want to know where it came from.
I will definitely ask, because as Corey knows, last year, we realized nothing was out of bounds because he said he didn't know what happened between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie. And I recounted the whole thing to him right now, right down to the fact that Trayvon Diggs came back out and said, D's nuts.
Yep.
And that's how I did the whole thing for Steven.
Laughed.
Yeah, so look, if we can get away with that, I feel like,
I think you'll be fine.
We got a lot of freedom. Right.
Yeah, either way. Do you got a boogie?
I can do one more segment.
Okay, because we're going to do Masterpiece of the Week.
Oh,
if you want to have some fun
segments.
With us. All right. Coming up next, it's time for Masterpiece of the Week. We'll get it going live from Uncle Julio's right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. I was so excited to get back on air as we were live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco. And I want to do a shout-out. We talk about kind of the family environment that can be created. So one of our Tolos and his grandmother – they weren't here last week. I think this is the first Friday football feast they've ever missed.
In the history of Friday football feasts.
Yes, because they were climbing a mountain in Colorado. They're the ones who brought us the keychains. And shout out to my grandma, Sharon McLeod, our dogs, Abby, Izzy, and Harley, our family friends, Jonathan and Natalie. Our Colorado trip was amazing. I'm thankful for all of you. Dan, Steve, part of our Friday football feast crew. It's a pleasure hanging out again. Let's all have an amazing year via the shout out napkin that this time is a piece of paper because we're at a fancier joint and they don't have paper napkins.
Yeah, they have nice napkins that I used to wave the flag on the Rangers season again.
Just real quick before Masterpiece of the Week, what do you think about him asking for the napkins so he could wave the white flag
again?
So
he can wave it?
I waved it a week ago.
It's all about energy. I think you got to bring the energy.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
See,
I would have asked for one, too. If you were a real partner, you would have been like, where's mine? Where's my napkin
Let's
so I can wave the white
together,
flag?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't support that.
You know what? That's a good point. Nick Harris was on earlier today, and he brought fantastic energy to everything. You know?
How glad are you that you aren't in the middle of moving?
Oh,
covering
man.
This story like
did you
Nick
see
Harris?
The U-Haul stuff?
Yes, I did.
Unbelievable. He showed up yesterday, and he clinked down on his table just the U-Haul keychain, and I've seen it before because it's like a stop sign and it tells you how to return it, and I'm like, what, did you drive a U-Haul here? And he's like, don't ask, because I knew he was moving, and we've talked a lot. We're calling a high school game at the Star tonight,
nice.
Nick and myself on the Frisco Sports Network, and we were at practice. He came up to me, he goes, Kyle, what teams are we calling tonight?
Oh no.
Hold on.
I was like, I get it. I was like, it's okay, I have the notes, I have the boards, we're gonna be fine. I was like, but it's Heritage and Greenville. Like, you'll be all right.
You just need to tell me what you see on the field, buddy. I got you.
Yeah, you're color analyst. You'll be okay. I'll lead the way. We'll be okay.
See, I'm a little disappointed that you said he came up to you and said Kyle instead of Kyle
Yeomans.
By the way, speaking of the vibe, so is it a big problem at all? And I know some of these probably knew it was coming, but Trayvon Diggs tweeted out heartbroken, the tear from CeeDee Lamb, Kevontae Turpin. Yeah,
Jerry's not worried about that locker room.
Okay, but the players, this League S is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, is there going to be lingering effects of this in the locker room?
I don't know. I think the leadership brass is still intact. I think it's still Dak, it's CeeDee, it's some of those guys on the offensive line. I've been impressed with Tyler Smith, what he's done forward, but the big thing is I just mentioned three guys, and they're all on offense.
Yeah.
So who is going to be the leadership on the defensive side? Maybe it's some of these linebackers that are veterans. Maybe it's some of the corners, but even your cornerback room is crazy. Malik Hooker, yeah, it's not going to be Mozzie Smith, as Sean says here. Steve says here, all of this is being said. I still think there's work to be done. I did see Trayvon out on the field. He was hopping around, had some energy, like we talked about, the vibes, the energy. He was walking around just fine. They do have open locker room here in about 25 minutes or so. So once I'm done here, I'll be able to give you a better answer next Friday, because I'll walk back or drive back over there and talk with a couple of the guys. But I still think it'll be okay. There's just going to be some maneuvering that needs to be done.
All right. So since you are here, it's time for some masterpiece of the week.
List this.
Hey, Jacob, how's it going, man?
Hi, gentlemen. It's time.
Jacob.
I know. We do this every time. It's time for Masterpiece of the Week. This is the part of the show we do every Friday. We go over the wild, wacky, and often concerning pieces of audio. So put the kids to bed, unless they're in school, because school started now, apparently. Let's get started with this one. Corey got a little vulnerable and was talking about the things that he likes to do. Or no, his favorite part about players.
I wanted to do it with all these players,
yeah.
too.
Oh, what okay. do you want to do with the players?
Okay, because you want to win with,
players?
With these. You wanted to win with Luka. You wanted to win with Micah. You wanted to do that with the players, all right?
That's you have to what stop I, yourself again there.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes I do have to remind. Kevin knows. Yeah, no, you wanted to
Wait,
win
what
with
does
those,
that mean?
You wanted to, just trust wow. me on this. You want to win with those players. You don't want to send them off to another team and be like, I never could get you a championship. Zach Martin's and stuff like that. You want to win with those guys. You're hopeful.
All right, well, I guess you can explain that one. I haven't heard this one because this has been Alec all week. This was you talking about your favorite body part.
Using our feet, not a big deal.
Okay.
Oh.
Look, man.
Have you ever thought about the logistics of trying to get that to happen?
No, Kevin, and I don't like watching you try to do that right now. That's weird, like that. Honestly.
You regret coming here now, Kyle.
You should have left after the one for a second.
He's like, I love listening to the segment from afar.
Yeah, I do. You know? I really do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think sometimes feet.
Are you a feet guy? Okay.
Get us there.
Oh, that's the weirdest question you've ever asked me. No, I'm not. But
I really feel judgmental.
We're on the radio.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Good feet equal triplets.
Okay. No, my gosh.
All right. Well, on the topic of body parts, here's Kevin.
You want to see more?
Yeah, pretty I got much you. That.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Just butt.
I don't know why. I said that.
I'm going to let you live.
See, and I want to say something now, but I feel like I've embarrassed Kyle enough.
Yeah. No. Keep going.
I think you should say it.
I think
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you prefer butts to feet, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good. Right. That was a very Jared Sandler laugh right there. I like that.
Which is already a comp. Yeah, that's definitely already a comp.
Okay, I don't. This one's titled Zip Ties. I don't know if this is Corey talking about what he does when he gets a hold of the feet, but let's take a listen.
I love the idea of having zip ties in your car.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Not for the reasons that you think, all right?
Because it sounds like he's going to murder somebody,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
The zip ties in the car are whenever you're at Target and you see somebody has just left the cart or they've parked improperly, and then you go zip tie that cart to their door handle. And then you leave, and now they got to go find scissors so they can cut that off. And they're stuck with a Target cart connected to their car.
You know, I thought you were just going to pull like a dad move and like, oh, you never know when you're going to need such tools.
That is true.
That's pretty diabolical.
It is.
That is a diabolical way to think about zip ties. Oh, I'm going to hinder your entire day because you parked
like
incorrectly.
Oh, you learned a valuable lesson.
You parked like a jerk, and I'm taking care of it.
Clean up my parking job out front.
See?
From the 214, can I get a shout-out to my son, Elijah? He turns 4 on Sunday. Happy early birthday. Back to you, Jacob.
All right, let's give Kevin some love here because we've kind of been going Corey heavy. This is what Kevin had to say about the wet mouth people.
I hate wet mouth people.
Oh, simple as that.
That is.
Now, this was a text, and I wanted more information. Is what is a wet mouth person? Mm-hmm. There was a shocking amount of response breaking down different variations of what they thought it was.
Some people, definitely a dry mouth person.
Okay. Some people.
Oh, I am too. I have to walk everywhere with a water bottle.
I'm thirsty.
Okay.
I never, if you see me anywhere, I mean, I brought this from home. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm never without a water bottle, usually. I don't know why.
Yeah. And I just carry around my Yeti, my Cowboys Blue Yeti.
There you go.
With the
straw.
Do you
sponsor?
Yeah.
Do you buy those water bottles or do you take them from the facility?
I take them from the facility.
Okay. Smart way to do it.
It's a sponsored water, you know? Like, they're okay with that.
At Old Valley Ranch, I always would get a chocolate milk every time I would go in. But for when I was working with Mickey over the website, I'd be like, time to get a chocolate milk today.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All right, so we have time for two more or one more?
Two.
All right, let's do two. All right, this one.
Maybe Kyle has time.
This was Corey. This one's titled Old Lady.
There was this old lady in my neighborhood, though. I would watch this lady every year.
Ooh, okay.
What? Oh, man. And that's where the zip ties came in.
No, that's not where the zip ties came in. Or the feet. She would pick up all the leaves by hand.
Oh, I remember.
She didn't rake. She would just, as a leaf would fall, she'd watch it. She'd hit the ground and she'd go pick it up, and then she'd be walking around with a stack of leaves.
That takes some dedication.
Yeah, it did, but she always had a clean yard. Huh. I watched that old lady all the time.
So far, my top choices are both Corey. It's the old lady and the zip ties.
Three of four. Yeah.
Let's see how we close out here.
Oh, well, we're closing out with you, Kevin, and I think we saved this one for last because I don't know if Kyle has heard this one.
Hold on, Tolo just brought in zip ties from his car.
Holy cow, that's a gigantic zip tie.
You could zip tie so many feet.
You could zip tie the car next to the other car in the parking lot. That could take up the whole parking spot.
Dude, that's awesome.
All right, I'm sorry, Jacob. That just happened. It's amazing.
What are the practical uses for these?
That's an off-air conversation.
Yeah, all right, sorry about that.
Old lady feet.
Nope.
All right, we got one more, and Kyle probably hasn't heard this one unless he was tuned in the show earlier.
Who needs Micah? We have James Houston.
All right.
Kevin's been very adamant about that all off.
So hold on. Wait. So this was from like 2 or 3 weeks ago when James Houston like first started to flash in the games. Obviously, you know, he
played
just
well.
Got here. Yeah. Exactly. And so we were talking about James Houston making the roster. And I said, it's not going to be a scenario where you're like, oh, who needs Micah? We have James Houston. And then once this deal went down, we were like,
versions of
oh, crap. We might have to find that cut.
Here he is.
It sounds like I led the charge
you
on
did.
This trade. And
I'm you like, definitely did.
We got James Houston. I don't care about the rest of these players.
I can't wait to hear or see a fan on the fan text that just tunes in during that.
Yeah.
And doesn't hear the explanations. Like, oh, I already flipped.
Yeah.
I flipped channels.
Yeah.
It's gone. I can't listen to this.
That guy,
anymore.
He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, obviously, it's a tough call, but I'm going to vote for Corey stalking that old lady.
There was this old lady in my neighborhood, though. I would watch this lady every year.
That sounds so weird.
Real quick, play that one more time.
It's the
Kyle,
way that I
want
it.
You to listen to when he says, though.
Though.
That's a lustful though.
Mm.
There was this old lady in my neighborhood, though. I would watch
you
this
see
lady.
What I'm saying?
I hear it. Yeah, though. I'm going to let Kyle vote because I have a feeling.
It's the zip ties.
Okay.
It's the zip ties.
I love the idea of having zip ties in your car. Gigantic zip ties! I'm voting for Kevin and his love for James Houston over Micah Parsons.
Who needs Micah? We have James Houston.
Yeah, exactly. And now Micah's traded, and Jerry was listening.
All right, Jacob, it's up to you. Is it James Houston is the best, zip ties, or old lady?
Yeah, I'm right there with Kyle, man. It's zip ties for me.
I love the idea of having zip ties in your car.
Why, Corey? Why?
I didn't say in a tarp and shovel, all right? I didn't add those things in there.
You don't have to.
It's implied.
Okay.
Well, Kyle, thank you very much for jumping on with
us. Thanks for swinging by today, too.
Absolutely,
man.
Gentlemen. Always. Anytime you're nearby, just don't let me find the zip ties.
As long as it's not too inconvenient for you.
Yeah.
I got you.
And no parking spot.
Oh,
you know,
man.
Like, that's
are you
going
to rethink the way you park now because of people like Corey might be lingering around?
With zip ties.
All right. Oh, there you go. Kyle Yeomans or Kyle Yeomans. From DallasCowboys.com. Thank you very much, good sir. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Trying to attack. Cousins. Here comes Parsons. Parsons got him from behind and the ball is out. And the Cowboys recover. It was Parsons coming around his man.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very, very much to the good people at Uncle Julio's in Frisco who've been rocking with us all day long. And right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the people who broke the news yesterday, the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well. I wanted to get y'all's thoughts. I mean, I felt like I heard a lot of your thoughts immediately when the deal went down. Y'all were the best spot to get information yesterday.
I turned the YouTube on immediately yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. Now, about, 22, 23 hours later, have you reconsidered at all? Have you gotten any more context that's made you change any of your opinions? Or where are you guys at?
You know, I think the report from Bobby Belt that the offer of 5 and 202.5 was with 4 extended years with $45 million new money. I think if anything, I've just become more convinced that Micah Parsons really didn't want to be here.
I mean, I could see that because 40.5 to 47, you're like, what can you do? But 45 to 47, that's still a lot of money. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think the fallout since this has all happened has definitely highlighted how much Micah had to do with all of this. I still, ultimately, the Cowboys and their lack of being proactive and just their history of always caving gave Micah the confidence that he could just go ahead and do this. So their own reputation worked against him here. So there is some fault there for sure. But seeing those numbers come out and obviously knowing just how nasty this got, like, this gets nasty for a reason. We haven't really seen a player. We're usually worried about, like, hey, has Jerry offended the player? This is the time now where Jerry absolutely offended, the player offended Jerry in a way that is only similar to, like Bobby was mentioning this morning, to the way Jimmy offended Jerry all those years ago.
Yeah.
Do you think you guys are getting, and the station's getting the appropriate credit for a couple of years ago discussing that this might be a reality within the walls of the Star already anyway?
I've seen some of that on social media.
Okay, all right. We need to get some more then.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I know Sean put it out. I know Brian and I have hinted at that too. and it gets spun like it's just some media conspiracy. Because fans, some fans just don't want to hear that. But we're not trying to paint any individual player in a negative light. It's not a personal thing. If we're hearing something, I feel like it's our job to be able to give the fans what they're not able to, the knowledge they're not able to gain. Like when we're in this field, you're able to get information to stuff. And sometimes it's not always fun, especially growing up a Cowboys fan,
right,
learning how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also something that, yeah, I don't love all the things that I'm able to hear and find out sometimes. Like, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, I think the thing that I was the most surprised about is I was on several different podcasts last night, and if you go back and read the comments of how people, fans, were on board with this,
yeah,
it wasn't like they were, you know, they don't want to give Jerry credit, but they were also saying, listen, you know, the player's at fault here. And so I was surprised about that. A lot of the good riddance, you know, and I was thinking, man, that's kind of shocking, to be honest with you.
And that's why I've hated the comparison that some folks have made with the Luka trade. And I feel like almost unanimously people were like, oh, this Luka trade is the worst. And now for this one, it feels like I understand that people were like, I wish you could have got more, or I really love Micah. But it doesn't feel like people are like, what are you doing? We're the laughingstock of the NFL.
No,
it's
still
the
more
magnitude of the trade, though. Like, it's a significant
move. I get it from that perspective.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And the team, like, that's the thing that bothers me the most. Like, it's just, Jerry said the division teams he wouldn't trade them to. Like, I would like to have added Green Bay, San Francisco to that list. Yeah. Like, if you could have traded him, and I know, Brian, you made the point yesterday, and you could very well be right because of the timing in which this all went down.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have another team that fit that criteria that they discussed in terms of the cap room to be able to pay Micah and a defensive tackle that they really coveted. But that's why it just speaks to it's a reactionary move. Like, I just felt that Jerry, we saw right through the sales pitch, man. This is something other people in the organization had discussed.
Yeah.
Nobody, you or Steven, were never on board with trading Micah. And until you got your feelings hurt, that's when that changed. Otherwise, yes, if you were a proactive, forward-thinking organization and the agent basically told you, if this is going to become a problem, trade him now prior to the draft and you would have gotten more. Unfortunately, the timing and the team in which you traded him to, that's really the only thing that I've got the problem with.
How about the similarity of could this trade end up bringing you the most hyped player of the generation like it did with the Luka trade?
Yeah.
How about that, Hagee?
Oh, no. Love it. Norris from South Carolina? Is that what you're thinking? I'm just kidding. I know.
Sellers, is it?
You're talking about Arch Manning, and obviously humongous game for them this weekend. What all do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. It is a Friday, so we'll take your phone calls at 5 o'clock. What you drinking, what you thinking? We have Eric Nadell coming on at 5:20 as well. Get you ready for this Rangers A's. But yeah, we'll update all the angles on Micah here right out of the gates as we continue our reactions.
Love it, love it, love it. Roll home with the people who broke the news, the people who started to tell you this could happen 2 years ago, the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. We'll be back on Tuesday right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say zip ties, Kevin.
Oh, Lord.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.